Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesday to everyone. We pray that you have all had a blessed Sunday and Monday. I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Tuesday night newcomers Bible study, where this Bible study is designed to cover those topics that are we consider to be the milk of the word. One of the things that I found years ago was that, you know, a lot of people were coming. We're coming to the Most High, and a lot of people were learning who they were as Hebrew Israelites. And one of the things that I found was that a lot of Hebrews were coming, and they were being attracted to topics that were itching ear type of topics, you know, numerology, the creation, just topics that don't really tell you how to get into the kingdom, don't tell you how to be saved, don't tell you how to live saved. And so we started this newcomers class because even a lot of quote-unquote Christians in the church never get really taught the milk of the word. And so we have two sides of the same coin. We got the Hebrew Israelites who, quote-unquote, supposedly keep the law. In a lot of instances are lacking in the spirit of the word. And then we have the church, which doesn't believe in keeping the law, more so understands the spirit, but may not necessarily also get converted. And they are not being taught the milk of the word. So this is one of those areas where I have about 16 different topics, different lessons that I believe are critical for every saint to know and to understand and to teach others so that when you are witnessing and when you are talking to people about the Word of the Most High, it is all of our jobs that, you know, we are effective witnesses. And so we are still in this topic today of the responsibility of the kingdom community. Which is, you know, when we look into the scriptures, it'll call it the ecclesia of the church, the called out ones, okay? But we also, you know, we also know that the gospel came first to Israel, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And in these last days, the Most High gave the church to the Gentile, and they were supposed to spread the gospel by faith. But what has ended up happening is that in these last days, particularly, I can't speak for the times that I was not here, and I can't speak for, you know, I can only say what the Most High has brought me into and has instructed me to do, is to teach this milk of the word, which is the law and the spirit, the intent of the law, and, you know, the spirit of the Most High, because we have to be born again. But we are dealing with, I think on this evening, we will start dealing with responsibilities of the community, the responsibilities of the community from the standpoint of what Messiah said. We're going to look at some different things on this evening in regards to the church or what I call the community. Because when we say church, especially these days, you know, you have your local assembly that you can go to. And then since COVID, well, even before COVID, we know that the church is not necessarily the building, that the people make up the church, the called out ones. The building is where you go to meet, but the people themselves make up the church. And so since COVID, they have had to redefine that in such a way that because the church had to go online, and, you know, it was always an outreach for a lot of churches that they would have an online ministry as well. And I started off doing online ministry, but witnessing to people and, you know, counseling individuals online, debating the scriptures online, that type of deal. But in these last days, and as, you know, COVID continues to be an issue in the judgments of the Most High, you know, going around, you can take the shots. I'm not telling anybody what to do. I just tell you what I'm not doing, is I'm not taking it. This online, you know, we have people that listen all over the world now. We are on every major continent now as far as this particular ministry goes, with people in Russia, well, every place but China, it looks like. Japan, Korea, Russia, the African continent, the European continent, South America, the U.S. We're in all of those places, and that's within a year. And so, you know, I'm going to have to start doing some things, not, you know, sort of indirectly that reach out to those individuals in those countries that have began to listen. Especially, you know, I want to be able to say at least, yeah, bless you in their language, but hello, that kind of thing. But we greet you no matter where you're at, whether you're in North America, South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, the Far East, or in Russia, Finland, those areas. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. On this evening, we are, as I said, dealing with the responsibility of the kingdom community. One of the things that the Most High showed me a while back, and I say that we are without excuse, especially in the U.S., but, you know, I think this is going to be pretty much in most countries, not every country. You know, every country, they don't have freedom of religion. But in the U.S., we have freedom of religion, and there is no reason whatsoever that we should not be worshiping the Most High in the way that he says in the scriptures, and we should be the model. So it showed me probably 15, 20 years ago that he sent the Hebrew Israelite, those in America, into the belly of the beast, because this country is also the beast, whether people recognize it as that or not. It will show up in time to be the beast, the system that will come against the Most High, because we have, because of this spirit of liberty. And the scriptures don't really give you a lot of liberty. You have liberty in Christ, but what does that mean? It is contrary to the goddess of this land, the goddess Columbia, or as we know her as Lady Liberty. That is the god of this country. So we have to understand that god says you can worship whatever god you want, as long as you don't hurt anybody else. Okay, but that means that anything can be a god, and anything, any religion, as long as you say it's a religion, it goes in this country. I don't care whether it's Satanism or whether it's Wicca or whether it is Christianity or Islam or Hindu or whatever it is okay in this country. If you came up with a religion called cigaretteism and we worship smoking, nobody could actually stop you from opening a church with that and saying, you know, all you got to do is have some followers. Some people say, hey, yeah, we smoke and we worship the god of nicotine. And this country would honor it. That's the whole thing that we got to understand. So there is no reason whatsoever, in my eye, that we should not be worshiping the Most High according to his scriptures. And we need to make sure that we line up with scripture, his holy word, and walk accordingly. Anything else, you know, I think when we come before him, we will be without excuse. I hear too many brothers and sisters, especially those that the Most High has awakened as to who they are as a people. You know, if he hasn't awakened them, then hey, you know, they're going to do they're going to do the status quo. But if you have been awakened by the Most High and told who you are as a people, and, you know, told to come and do, pick up your heritage and do what it is that he selected Israel to do, especially in these last days, then we are without excuse, period. We are in the belly of the beast, and the beast says, hey, worship what you want to worship. You can worship me if you want to. And it's okay in this country. But the Most High said, I'm putting my people into a land where They didn't want to worship me and didn't believe what I said before. So I'm going to put them in a land that my priesthood, now this is the killer, I'm going to put my priesthood, my former priesthood, in a land where they have the liberty to worship whatever they want to worship. And I want to see if they're going to choose me. And I want to see if they're going to do what I told them to do from the beginning. Or are they going to stay where they're at? So, you know, I just say that we are without excuse. Now, whatever land you are in, whatever nationality you are, it doesn't matter. Salvation is to everyone. Okay? And so, you know, the Most High sent me to Israel. That's the ministry he gave me. But he also, you know, gave me the ministry of offering salvation to the nation, the different ethnic groups, the different people of different nations, and to bring them to him in spirit and in truth. So, you know, one day we're going to have to do Romans chapter 11 from verse 1 through the end, because it is so detailed in what happened, what is happening, and what is going to happen, that it is not funny. And, you know, it is a must teach. I don't know why a lot of pastors don't really, in the churches, don't really teach. A lot of them don't teach from the book of Acts, and a lot of them don't teach a lot of things. They pick out certain chapters, like from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. But when you look at the entire book of Romans and what the message that is there, it is so heavy as concerning the nation of Israel and the Gentile nations and what the Most High is doing in these last days and is going to do. Nevertheless, once we come to Messiah, once we come to him, then we are required to live a certain way. And, you know, standard, I was, you know, I came up in a Pentecostal church. Well, I actually came up Catholic first and then Baptist. And then when I became a grown man and started, you know, reading the scriptures for myself, the Most High led me to a Pentecostal church, Holiness Church. And I ran into the world. I'm like, I got to stop doing all this stuff that I just start doing. But I ran, and I thank the Most High he didn't kill me while I was out there. But then he brought me back, and then he brought me into the knowledge of who we are as a people and what we should be doing. So it's I have seen both sides of the fence, and I didn't have a total negative experience in the church, and I haven't had a total negative experience once I've come to the knowledge of who I am as a person, a Hebrew Israelite. I see both sides of the coin. So these particular lessons, these teachings I found are necessary because they are things that I found that are lacking in the Hebrew camps. We're too caught up with, we're Hebrew Israelites. We're keepers of the law, but then are we? So, you know, none of this matters. Let me say this. Nothing else matters if you don't make it into the kingdom. Nothing else matters. I don't care how much law you keep. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you say you have. If you have the Ruach HaKodesh and you don't keep the law, you're not going to make it in. If you have the law and you don't get the Ruach HaKodesh, you're not going to make it in. Got to have both. And so if you don't make it in, you know, all these swelling topics, all the traditions, all the I don't want to be like them, don't matter. First thing, every person has to make sure that they make it into the kingdom, that they qualify and that they make it in. Other than that, it don't matter. Because, you know, the end result is the lake. You don't make it into the kingdom, you go into the lake. So the most important and the most paramount thing, important thing, is to make it into the kingdom. No matter whether you're a Hebrew Israelite or whether you're a Gentile. But you can be a Hebrew Israelite, and because you're a Hebrew Israelite don't mean you're making it into the kingdom. You can be a Gentile, because you're a Gentile and you accept Messiah, but then nobody ever really teaches you to keep his statutes, the laws, and his commandments. And then you're going to find out that you're not going to make it in either. You're going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Because if you don't keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, you work iniquity. You practice iniquity, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I knew you not. You say you knew me, but how come you didn't, if you knew me, you would keep my commandments? I am the God of the Old Testament. I am the God of the New Testament. I came in the flesh. So it doesn't matter. First thing first is getting into his kingdom, learning how to live in his kingdom. He said the kingdom is here already. This is the kicker. When you listen to Messiah, he said the kingdom of heaven is here already. It's on the earth. The New Jerusalem, we're not going up to heaven. The New Jerusalem is coming down to the earth. His kingdom will be established on the earth. And so he said it's here. And we who have been quote-unquote born again, quote-unquote come into truth, quote-unquote accepted Messiah, we're supposed to be living as though we are already in the kingdom and waiting for our king to return. Our king has gone away, but he's coming back. So how can we say we are a member of a kingdom and then don't keep the laws, statutes, and commandments of that kingdom? It doesn't work. And he's saying, when he comes back, will he find faith? Will he find faith? That means, will he find those who believe what he said? Who not only believed it, but actually did what he said to do? So this is what we are endeavoring to do. And as I said, these milk lessons are designed to give us the things that every saint should know. You know, if it's not getting you into the kingdom, if it's not helping you to stay in the kingdom, then anything else, it might be fun to know. It might make you wise in certain aspects. But until you actually enter into the kingdom, you don't really need to know any of that stuff. Until you know what your responsibilities are in the kingdom, you don't need to know any of that other stuff. Because what good is it going to do you? Even if you knew what the number of the beast is, what good is it going to do you if your life, you're still not going to enter into the kingdom? If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you just know who you're worshiping, the beast. So, you know, getting into the kingdom is paramount. It is number one, the first priority. It should be the first priority on everyone's list. And it should be one of those things that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. When I ask people, are you saved? Then they say, I believe, I think. Then I know already. They are not. Because when you've had this experience with the Most High, it leaves no doubt whatsoever in your mind what the Most High has just done for you. Leaves no doubt whatsoever. It's not something that you believe. You know, it's something that you know. And so now, whether you stay in that condition, that's a whole nother story. Okay, especially with the doctrines that are being taught. That is a whole nother story. Let me look at something real quick before we get started. I'm going to get off my soapbox. Okay, new moon for new moon service or the new month service for December, January, I believe. Let's see. Maybe I don't have it in there. Okay, I need to go through and do the calendar. For the new moon service starting in January. I'm thinking that it is 31 December. Somebody might say, well, how is that for January? We know that our months don't run in accordance with, our months do not run in accordance with the Roman Greco calendar. Our feast days don't run in accordance with the Roman Greco calendar. And so our months don't start, you know, with the first of the month on the Roman Greco calendar. It starts with the new moon associated with that month. And so I will need to actually do that calendar and actually do the feast days for next year. Do that calendar. We've come into, you know, the part of the year where we didn't have a lot of holidays, and I should have went ahead and done this. We've been tied up with hydroponics and all this kind of stuff. But the feast days for 2022, I need to go ahead and calculate those and put out the calendar so that we can plan vacations and what have you for next year. You know, and I think one of the things that I learned coming into this, that some ways that some people were teaching it, you know, how to calculate these days, I'm like, why are they going through all these gyrations when the Most High says it very clearly in his book? The month starts with the new moon. Every new month starts with the new moon. And so the first day of the month for every month is the new moon of that month. And then that's day one for that month as far as the Most High is concerned. And so when we calculate the feast days, we calculate it based upon that. We don't have to worry about, you know, this 180 days and trying to calculate on a 360-day calendar. Don't have to worry about any of that stuff. He makes it perfectly simple and simplistic. What I found, though, of convenience, and I'll just say this and we'll move on into this lesson. I found that the quote-unquote Ashkenazi Jews, the Sephardim Jews, what they do is have conveniently made every holiday, every feast day fall on the weekly Sabbath. And that is just impossible. But, you know, so that they can make it work for them, so that, you know, they're not having to take off, you know, during the week, say a Monday or a Tuesday, all of the high Sabbath days, Pentecost, not Pentecost, but Passover, Tabernacles, all of them they're making to fall on a Friday night. And I'm like, this is so convenient, but it is not what the Most High has said. So you will find different people celebrating at different times. I'm not a person of convenience, okay? I'm going to stick strictly with the scriptures. I'm going to stick strictly with what the Most High said. And the truth of the matter is, even while at Amazon, you know, I had to let them know, I keep these feast days. And it's, you know, part of my religion. And, you know, even though they couldn't honor the Sabbath all the time, they would honor, you know, those days. And I would, because they were already pre-known, I would get them off. But I would make sure if they act like they weren't going to give it to me, then I would take vacation. That's, you know, that's what my vacation was geared around. So we need to do those calculations so that everybody can plan. You know, if you're at a job and you have vacation time, because the world doesn't keep the feast days of the Most High, and they keep pagan holidays, you know, Christmas, Easter, And Easter is not, in the scriptures, is not known as Easter. It's known as the Feast of the First Fruits. Because the world keeps different feast days than the Most High. And they don't keep all the ones that he says to keep. Like even a lot of Hebrews don't keep, like the new moon. And we're commanded to keep the beginning of the month as a Sabbath. But it also shows us in the birth of Messiah that it was the beginning of the year. But that beginning of the year, what I was going to say is I found that a lot of Hebrews, because they calculate different things, they don't calculate it in the way that the Most High says to calculate it. We've gotten too fancy that we are, got Messiah being born in October, got Messiah being born in July. We just got all kind of different things that don't line up with the scripture. They sound good because tabernacles, people say, oh, he was here then, so that must be when he was born. And they will make the calculations work on that. But the Most High shows us in the scriptures, really, and tells us by his titles when he was born. All we got to do is just believe. All right, let's do our statement of faith. And as I said again, if you got it, I'm gonna open up your mics. And if you go ahead and mute yourself on your end, then if there's any background noise, then it won't interfere. And we will go ahead and proceed with our statement of faith and our prayer. So shalom, family.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Our statement of faith. Shalom, my sister.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, my sister. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. We just glorify you, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol you and we give you honor, Father, for truly you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It is you and you alone that are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And it is only to you that we will bow down and that we will worship. And so, Father, we thank you on today for first loving us, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for just giving us a mind to be on you, Father. Right now, Father, hallelujah. We invite you to this meeting, Father. Let it be you that teaches, hallelujah. Let Brother Miles decrease and let you increase. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To you, our Elohim. Holy hands raised. Let me have sisters to cover their heads. Brothers, uncover your heads. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let us go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to get verses 26 through 28. Because we should always keep this before us in everything that we decide to do. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, let us go ahead and jump into this precept. We are still on the community of the kingdom. Okay. And the kingdom in you. On tonight, what is the responsibility of the community according to the following scriptures? Let's go to the book of Matthew's chapter 28. Matthew's chapter 28. Messiah has been crucified. He has resurrected. He has come and he has talked to the disciples. And he's giving them, I call this, our marching orders to the church, to Israel, to begin with, and then to the church as a whole, all those that the Most High has called out. Matthew chapter 28, and let me get my Bible open here. All right, the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is one of the first things that Messiah told the church, the called out ones, and at this time they were all Hebrews. There were no Gentiles that had been called to salvation at this point when he gave this commandment. It is after Israel rejects the gospel that the Most High uses Paul and Peter to give the gospel to the Gentile nations, to the world. But at this time, when Messiah gave this commandment, it was to Israel. And he said to go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If I say to you, I want you to go and write your name. And if you go and then you write your name, then you only repeated the instruction, but you didn't follow the instruction. In order to follow this instruction, you have to learn what is the name of the Father, what is the name of the Son, what is the name of the Holy Ghost. But then we are given only one name. So people will say, well, you're baptizing in the authority of the Father and in the authority of the Son and in the authority of the Holy Ghost. That's one way of looking at it. But Messiah said that you were to baptize in the name of, because you got to know what you're being, quote unquote, this is a game, what you're being jumped into. So let me get this. One second. Let us go to the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts chapter 4. And we're going to be getting verses we're going to get verses 10 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Elohim raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. This was not set by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now we know the cornerstone is the first stone that you set in any building. And if it is crooked, the whole building will be crooked because it sets the foundation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. Now, we read in Matthew chapter 28 and 19, baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. But he says, neither is there any other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. So we're told in another place, I should know this verse off the top of my head, but I don't, so give me a second. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So everything that we do, we're supposed to do in his name, even baptize. So if you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you really need to be rebaptized. Why? Because Father is a title. Son is a title. Even Holy Ghost is a title. But he wants you to be baptized in his name. And everything that we do, we're supposed to do it in his name. We're supposed to teach all the nations this, to do it in his name. There is no other name given under heaven, whereby men must be saved. So when you are buried with him, when you are baptized, you are buried with him. Let's get that verse and we'll move on. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Because this has to also do, when I explain salvation and the plan at the Most High, how salvation actually works, the Most High gives you credit for death when you come to him. We're going to get Romans chapter 6. Let's start in verse 1, actually. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Thank you. Romans 6 and 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because see, a lot of people believe that we are saved by grace, and we are saved by grace. But that doesn't tell you that you can go ahead and continue to sin, that you can say, oh, it's okay because I'm under grace. Elohim forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So when they say that there's no law, the law is what identifies sin. That's what the law's purpose is. This is what the Most High says is right and what is wrong, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And if you transgress the law, what he says to do and not to do, then he says you sin. So he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Elohim forbid. Elohim forbids it. Don't continue in sin because of grace. How shall we that are dead to sin? That means if you are dead to something, that means you don't do it anymore. It don't mean that you continue to practice it and then say, oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm dead to that. I don't do that anymore. I don't have those ways anymore. If you're dead to it, how shall you live any longer therein? Know you not, as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, were baptized into his death. This is how the Most High gives you credit for death without killing you. So when we come to Messiah, we are supposed to know what sin is. We're supposed to know how we have transgressed. And then we're supposed to repent of it. That's what the word says, repent. Repent means to acknowledge your sin and then what? Turn away from it. Don't do it anymore. And then he says he is true and just to forgive us. So we go down in the water, we're supposed to be dead. That old man is supposed to be dead. That's why he said up above. How can you say that you can walk, if you're in grace, that you can still sin? He says you can't. Elohim forbid. Because you're supposed to be dead to sin. That old man was supposed to die. And now you are buried with Christ, with Yeshua HaMashiach, by baptism. The water represents the grave. You don't bury things that are alive. So that old man is supposed to be dead. He's dead to those old ways. Now, the Most High knows that especially amongst the Gentile nations and amongst us of the diaspora, in the last days, that we would have to relearn his laws. We would have to relearn what sin is. Because the church has put out the message that, hey, you ain't up under the law, not understanding the scriptures. But you're supposed to be dead to those things. And you're not supposed to, because you're under grace, continue in sin. You're supposed to be dead to sin. So you become dead to sin. And then you are buried. That old man is buried. And then you are resurrected. You come up out of the water, a new creation, a new creature. But the Most High allows you and gives you credit for death by burying you in Messiah's death. So let's read verse 3 again. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, were baptized into his death. So you died with him. You get credit for death, his death. You get credit for death through his death. Now the price that he has paid with his death, you get credit for that. And when you come out of that water, the Most High doesn't see you as yourself. He sees you as Christ. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. So we got to understand this process. And every saint, I truly believe that they are baptizing people too quick. They are not teaching them what they need to know before baptizing them. They hear the gospel, but they don't even really know what sin is. Sin is a red dress that's too short, somebody that smokes cigarettes and drinks. That's what, you know, the church really thinks sin is. And the truth of the matter is, sin is what the Most High says it is. His laws, his statutes, his commandments, the disobeying of them, that is sin. So we are buried into Messiah's death. That old man, you died. We're supposed to, at least. And then you were raised. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So the Most High is saying, hey, you believe that Mashiach came and he died for your sins, that he is my lamb, was my lamb, and is my lamb, and that he resurrected. If you believe that, and then you understand why you are coming, because you were a sinner, you really need to know what that is. And I really believe, and I honestly really believe this, being in the church for so many years, most people do not really know what that means. You know, they can understand that, oh, they were a fornicator, or maybe they were an adulterer, or maybe they stole something, they coveted, they wanted something somebody had. But all the rest of the commandments of the Most High, they don't really have a clue about. So they're coming with, you know, this generalized view of what sin is. But it is really the statutes, laws, and commandments, disobeying the statutes, laws, and commandments, even the ordinances of the Most High. So disobey his voice is sin. So we are to understand this, know this, and then repent of our sin. And then those things that we don't know, that, you know, we just didn't know it. He says, okay, the day you find out about it, the day you know what it is, that is sin, then you repent of it and you turn away from it. And I am sure and just to forgive you. But that is not really what's being taught. So we are supposed to die to sin, then we get baptized. We come up out of that water. Just as Christ was resurrected, we come out of the water resurrected, a new creature. We're to walk in the newness of life. At that point, you have a clean slate. You are without sin. The day you went down in Messiah's name, you were without sin. You were spotless when you come up out of that water. That's what he said. Shall we continue in sin because of grace? You came out of that water spotless. Now you're going to go spot back up your garment? Let me just go get dirty again. Let me just go undo what Messiah just did for me. So that they are teaching. They're not teaching the importance of the water baptism. They're not teaching the importance of being filled with the Ruach. They're not teaching, you know, the mechanism by which the Most High saved us and why this is so critical. And so, you know, the Most High has always forgiven ignorant sin. He will forget. That's the only sin that he has actually ever forgiven other than this right here when we first come to Messiah. He said, I'm under grace, I'm giving you a start over. But once you come to him, that's your start over. You don't get to start continually start over and over and over and over and over again. It doesn't work that way. But this is what is being taught. So every time we sin, we say we're sorry, we start over. No, that's not the way it works. So what you're ignorant of, the Most High says, okay, I can forgive that you didn't know. Once you know, stop. Go and sin no more. Now we're supposed to be going and teaching the nations these things. And the problem is because Israel, the priesthood didn't appreciate the job that they were given, and they rejected Messiah. And the Most High says, I'm going to take this gospel and give it to another nation. Okay. But they also have not obeyed the commandments, have not obeyed his voice. And in these last days, in particular, especially in these times where we're up under liberty and you are free to do whatever, you know, you want to do, as long as it don't hurt anybody else, quote unquote, in the pursuit of life, happiness, and what's the other one? Life, happiness, and, well, I forget the third part of that. But as long as you don't hurt anybody, and even to the point where the nation changes the laws, where, okay, it's okay for gay marriage. Most I never said that. But you got liberty. And see, the Constitution of the United States doesn't say that this is a Christian nation. It guarantees that whatever, you have freedom of religion. So whatever you want to worship, whoever you want to worship, you can worship that. And so you can't say you're a Christian nation. So you can't impose Christian values as a nation on people. And that is one of the problems with this country. But that is the way it's set up. But it's to our favor as well, because if we are true believers in the Most High Elohim, if we are true believers in the Word of the Most High, if we believe that the Holy Bible is the inspired Word of the Most High, then we should be living by it, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High, every word that he had written, we should be living by it. So we're to be teaching the nations this. This is part of the community responsibility, to teach the nations. And then to baptize them. Now, you know, when I was younger, somebody said they wanted to be baptized, I would be subject to go ahead and just baptize them because they wanted to be baptized. But I really realized that that is a mistake. And it shouldn't be done that way. And, you know, if you have a message and you give a message and you say, is there anybody that wants to be baptized because they feel convicted and they all want to get baptized? And so that you can say you baptize somebody. You baptize however many people. But the truth of the matter is, they still don't know what they need to know. So this message of what sin is and what the sins really are, not just sin, because, you know, sin is a generalized term, but it really means, you know, to transgress the laws of the Most High. Well, if you send out the mixed message that you're not up under the law, then why do I need to be baptized? So you got people out there saying, hey, we don't need to be baptized. We just need to start being good. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't go through this water baptism, then you never died or were jumped into Messiah. You never entered into his body. That's the first part. The second part of the baptism is the spiritual baptism, the baptism of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. Must have those two. But we as the community need to be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, his name in the English. And we need to be teaching people what they really are repenting of, and that they can't go back to those things, because the scripture is very clear. You turn back. If you know that you're not supposed to be doing something, you know, when they say turn back, they're thinking that somebody who just turned away totally. You know, I heard of the Most High, and I heard of the Holy Ghost, and I heard about being baptized, and I did those things, and they told me I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and now I don't believe none of that stuff anymore. They believe that that's turning back. But turning back is really when you agree to stop sinning and to turn back into it, to knowingly sin. That is enough by the scriptures to be considered turning back, because you knowingly did it. Now, when you're talking about falling, that is somebody who has tripped. That is somebody who, when you trip, tripping is an accident. It's not something intentional. So we don't go and sin intentionally. Oh, I know that's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Lord, 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 have mercy. She fine, Most High. You just going to have to forgive me. No. That's a trip straight to the lake. That's a trip straight to the lake. So we are to be teaching them correctly. You are being baptized into Messiah. This is what he did for you. This is what he did for all of us. And until he comes back, this period of grace is going on. Until he comes back, or until he turns off the spigot and says, oh, no more, grace is over. I'm not calling anybody else into salvation. And every day he's having mercy on someone. And as we studied the Torah, the Old Testament, then we understood that judgment in those days came right away. But today he says, I've set a date when I'm going to judge all men. So you think that because judgment don't come right away that he's being merciful to you? He's being merciful to you if you're keeping his statutes, laws, and commandments. That's what the scripture says. That's who he has mercy on. Those that obey him, he has mercy on them. Those that don't obey, it ain't pretty for them. It's not a good picture painted for the disobedient. And so while we can, we need to turn toward him 100% and teach the nations to turn to the Most High, to stop sinning. And don't even give them the option to make up what they think. Because, see, this is a problem. You got too many people making up what they think the scriptures are saying when they don't have to make it up. The scriptures say what they say. But you got to have the Ruach HaKodesh to give you context, to tell you these go together and this is in this light. If not, yeah, we can cherry pick scripture. We can cherry pick the scriptures and make the word say what we want it to say. And that's how we get 30,000 different denominations, just in Christianity alone. Because people cherry pick one scripture and say, oh, this is my doctrine. This one verse, this is everything it's based off of. And now they start interpreting all the scripture based upon that understanding. But we got to understand that we have to come to him in spirit and in truth. And that his word doesn't contradict itself. And when you just take him at his word, it is just so simple. It really is. It's just so simple. Everything lines up. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. So our job as a community is to go and teach all nations. You got to teach them the truth. Can't just teach them enough to get them to follow you, to get them to attend, to get them to pay tithes. Because if they are comfortable in their sin as a teacher, as a pastor, then you're not doing your job. We are to call people to repentance. Turn from your wicked ways. And then if they are living in sin, they shouldn't be able to listen to your teachings and be comfortable. If they are in sin. Now, if you ain't in sin, a lot of lessons shouldn't bother you. Well, he ain't talking about me. And then if lessons are to teach you how to walk and how to stay saved, then you say, oh, that's for me. Mm-hmm. But you got to first get in. That's the first thing. It's getting in. So when the scripture says, let's go to Romans chapter 10. I was getting ready to go to Luke chapter 9. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 real quick. And I'm going to look at two words here. I want you, let's go to verse 10, Romans chapter 10 and 10. We're not going to get all into this. I want to show you the difference in the English and understanding English, okay? So Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, and when we have it, we'll say amen.
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 All right, thank you. For with the heart man believeth unto, underline that word unto, righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For what the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This word unto does not mean into. If I come unto your house, does that mean I came into your house? No, it doesn't mean that. If I come and knock on your front door, did I come unto your house?
No.
But did I come into your house? So, in order to receive salvation, you got to first believe. And then you have to confess. But these things bring you unto the door. You still got to obey the scriptures and do what it says to do to be saved. Does that make sense to anyone?
Yeah, it does.
So I can come unto your house and never come into your house. I can drive up and park in front of your house. I'm at your house, but I didn't enter into your house. So salvation brings you unto. Confession brings you unto salvation. Belief brings you unto righteousness. But you still got to do right to be righteous. Just because you believe something don't make you righteous. You got to actually do right to be righteous. You can say, oh, I know I'm supposed to do that, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, then you didn't do what it took to be righteous. Oh, yeah, I believe that I'm supposed to do that, but I'm not doing it. I don't do it. Then you didn't do what it was required to actually be righteous. So we got to understand this word unto. People do what's they do the stuff that brings them unto salvation. It brings them to the door. But they don't do the things that are required to get into salvation. They don't do the things that are required to make them righteous. It says even the demons believe, right? Doesn't the scripture say that? Or am I the only one that read that?
No, I read it too.
All right, amen. Let me go get the scripture just so I can make sure everybody. One moment here. I don't know why my Bible is not finding that verse. Let's go to James chapter 2. And then we'll go ahead and proceed to Luke 19. But I want us to understand that the church is taking words, taking scriptures, and making them doctrine, but it's not the entire truth. And a lot of people are coming out of Christianity, and saying, oh, well, the Most High told us we're Hebrews, but then they're also not teaching the entire truth. They're bringing some Christianity with them in their understanding. James chapter 2, to start in verse 18, when you have to say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Start in verse 18, I'm sorry. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one Elohim, thou doest well. The devils also do what?
Believe
and tremble.
They know. So just because you believe, don't make you any better than the devils. If you don't
Amen.
Act on it, because they know and believe. So if you hear and you believe, If you don't do those things that make you righteous, then you won't be righteous. If you don't believe the word and act upon it and do what he says to be saved, you won't be saved. So these things bring you unto, that word unto, to the door. But you still have to do what is required to enter in. That's the point. Luke chapter 19. We're going to get verse 10. Luke 19, and we're going to get verse 10. Still talking about the responsibilities of the community.
Amen.
And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, that which was lost is that which was lost in the garden. This is what we first hear about the first prophecy about Messiah is in the garden with Adam and Eve when they fell. So this promise, that which was lost is all mankind. That which is lost is eternity. Adam and Eve in the garden had eternal life. They walked with the Most High. They heard his voice in the garden. They walked with him. He was among them. And there was no death. That's what was lost. And so first, he had to come and get his priesthood that was in trouble. The house of Israel. How can I offer this great gift to mankind when I've selected a priesthood and my priesthood is in trouble? So let's go get this verse. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 15 first, and then we'll come back to 10. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to get verse 24. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto who?
The house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel.
I come to seek and to save that which was lost. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. I need to first save my priesthood. But this promise goes all the way back to the garden. Because mankind as a whole, that's why he said he was offering salvation up to who? The entire world. I'm the savior of the world. I got to first start with my priesthood, and then I will save the rest of the world. I will go back and undo what Adam did. So the promises that we had in the beginning, what was given to us naturally, what even a promise, when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they were eternal. They couldn't die. And he says, do what? There's only one thing you can't do. Eat from that tree that's in the middle of the garden. The day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Death will enter into the world. So if they had never eaten from that tree, if they had never sinned, all mankind would be eternal right now. And we would just be eternal and living on the earth forever. That's what was lost in the garden. The Most High's presence with man and our eternity. We were created eternal beings. Messiah came that we might get that back. And so when we believe in him, And when we do what he says to do, then he says, I'm going to give you, I know it's Matthew's, I don't know the exact verse. Let's see here. Give me 1 second here. I want to look up another verse. Let's see how that's spelled. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. The book of Matthew, chapter 19. Because this is what every saint is promised. Every saint think that, you know, they're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. That's not what he says. And you got to qualify to reign with him 1,000 years. Even if you are saved, you got to qualify for that position, to reign with him. But here's what he promises every saint. So Matthew, chapter 19, starting in verse 29. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Actually, we're going to start a little bit higher, so you won't say Brother Miles said that. Let's get the gist of this conversation. Let's start in verse... Let's start in verse 16. Verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, do what? Keep the commandments.
Keep the commandments.
Okay. He says unto him, which? Now, we got some camps out there that are teaching. These are all the commandments you got to keep. Because this is all Messiah named right here. But, again, that is them acting on this is all they want to do. They don't want to keep the law, but they want to say they keep the law. Because I'm going to ask you what is missing from here. And then tell me if you think you ought to be doing it. He said unto him, which? Yeshua said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? And Yeshua said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, what did Messiah leave out up there that was the utmost important that should be just automatically understood?
You only have one.
Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy.
That's one of them. What about the Most High himself? What's the first commandment?
Right.
Fear the Most High.
Right. Go ahead.
And love him with all your heart. Keep his commandments.
Everything concerning the Most High, Messiah didn't mention. And he didn't mention the Sabbath day, right?
Right.
The first four commandments he didn't mention. Do you think you're still supposed to only worship God, the Most High?
Yes, I do.
Do you think that you're still supposed to only not to create any images of anything in the heavens on the earth that you might think looks like God and bow down to it?
Yes, I do. I believe that, yes.
All right. Do you think that you are only supposed to, that you're supposed to still keep his Sabbath?
Yes, I am supposed to keep his Sabbath.
The first four commandments he don't mention. But we got churches out there, and I won't say churches, these are camps, teaching that the only ones you got to keep is the one that Messiah just named. I said, you really don't have no understanding. Okay. Let's keep going, because that's not the verse I want to get to. I want to get to show you what every saint has promised. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. He didn't want to sell his stuff. Then said Yeshua unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is not saying that a rich man can't enter into the kingdom. It's not saying that. It's saying that it's hard for them to. Why? Because they count on their riches to secure them. I'm secure. You know, my house is paid off. I got plenty of money in the bank. I got plenty of stuff stacked up in the barn. But we have a story in the scriptures about a man just like that. And then the Most High came and told him, hey, tomorrow I ain't promised to you. Tomorrow you dying. Somebody else going to inherit everything that you just saved for. So he said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom because they count on their riches to save them. He says, and again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Elohim. This eye of a needle was an actual archway in Jerusalem that was tall and skinny. And it was hard for a camel to fit through it, especially if it was loaded with goods. That's the eye of a needle that it's talking about. It's not talking about a sewing needle. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? If a rich man can't be saved, who can be saved? But Yeshua answered him and said, with men, this is impossible. But with Elohim, all things are possible. So a rich man can be saved. Abraham was a rich man. All the patriarchs were rich men. King David, Solomon, they were all what? Rich. He says, you're going to see them again. So that's not the issue. The issue is if, when you count on your riches, when you think that, you know, money secures you, when you don't give the Most High the glory. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all, and this is where I wanted to get to, and follow thee. What shall we have, therefore? We've given up everything for you. What are we going to get? And Yeshua said unto them, verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration, this is the resurrection, the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, those 12 thrones out of the 24 are promised to the disciples, his apostles. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive how much?
A hundredfold.
A hundredfold.
And what else?
Inherit eternal life.
So you get this inherit eternal life is referred to in another place as the crown of life. That's this eternal life. But you're not promised to get a throne. You're not promised to rule with him. All the saints are promised that they will receive a hundredfold of whatever they gave up for his name's sake, and everlasting life, eternal life. This is what he came back to give. But, you know, we sing these church songs, you know, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm going to rule with him. I'm going to get my throne. I'm going to get my crown. They don't understand that that crown, let's go one more place, because, again, we're being taught half-truths. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's get verse 12. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Let me let everybody else get there.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Okay. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, For when he is tried, he shall receive what?
The crown of life.
Which Yah has promised to them that love him. The crown of life, eternal life. That crown of life ain't got nothing to do with you ruling on a throne. That crown of life ain't got nothing to do with you ruling with Messiah. When you read in the book of Revelations, there's 24 elders around the throne, 24 thrones. 12 of them are for the 12 tribes of Israel. The other 12 are for the Gentile nations. And what we have to understand is the nations are actually saved according to the number of the children of Israel. This was ordained from the very beginning. The children of Israel shall be over all the nations, the different tribes. The world will be cut up into sections, into 12 sections. So there will be 12 Gentile kings, but they will report to a Hebrew Israelite king who will in turn report to Messiah. So these things, when we are told that we're going to get a crown, he says, if you want a crown, if you want to rule with me, you got to suffer with me. You don't get to get a crown just because you believed in Messiah. You don't even get to get a crown because you got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. That just ensures that you are a son of the Most High and that you're going to enter into the kingdom. Let's go one more place, then we'll move on. Because these are the things that we are supposed to be teaching the nations. So whatever you give up for the kingdom, you're going to get a hundredfold plus eternal life. Not the words of Brother Miles. It's straight up in the scripture. Let's see. What did I want to get? I think this is in Romans 8, yes. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read down through this so that we get context and understand. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. If you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, thank you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, Christians should be keeping the law through their faith in Mashiach and what he did, not trying to get from under the law. But see, we are not under the law as long as we don't break the law. The law was given to us. It's righteous. The law is right. The law tells us right from wrong. It has never been bad. The problem was our what? It was weak through what? What did verse 3 say? The law was weak through what?
Sinful flesh.
Through the flesh. Men couldn't keep it. Men, not that they couldn't, they wouldn't. But that don't make the law bad. It just makes men bad. Makes men weak. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what?
The flesh.
The flesh.
The flesh. They're trying to please the flesh all the time. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. When we don't really mind the things of the Spirit, and we only care about this flesh, pleasure, eating, achieving stuff in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are the things of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, whatever this flesh needs. The lust of the eye, whatever we see we want to achieve, we want to have, we want to do, we want to get. And the pride of life, you know, what we want to be, what we consider that makes us have worth. So those things are of the world and not of the Father. So when that's what we're about, then we are carnal minded. And to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or what? Hatred against Elohim. For it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So what the Most High is saying is simply this. If we are carnal minded, we are not subject to his laws because we're not in his kingdom. And we cannot obey his laws because we're trying to please what? The flesh. We're carnal minded. And so we're not subject to his law. And he says, neither indeed can be. You can't do it. You know, you can say, hey, I'm trying to be good, but no matter what, I just keep sinning. Why? Because you're still carnally minded. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now here, there's an if here. If so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. That's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. If the spirit of the Most High Elohim dwells in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, what spirit was in Christ? The spirit of Elohim. To wit, Elohim was in Christ. Doing what? Reconciling the world into himself. The spirit that was in Christ, in Yeshua. And Christ is really not a person. Christ is a what? Title. It's a title. Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. HaMashiach or Christ are not last names. It's Jesus the Christ. Christ is a title. What is Christ? The scripture says Christ is the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation.
Amen.
That's what Christ is. Anything that the Most High does that brings us to salvation, that is Christ, that saves us. In the wilderness, says that Christ was that rock that the water came out of, that gave Israel water and saved them. That water brought them to salvation. That water was the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. That's Christ. That's what that title means. The spirit of Christ is the spirit of the Most High. So he says, if the spirit be in you, the spirit of God dwell in you, then you're not in the flesh. You should be trying to do the things that please Elohim. Your walk changes. Your talk changes. Your motivation changes. Your focus on life changes. It ain't about what you can do in this world. It's about what you're doing in reference to what he has commanded be done. Go and teach all nations. Establish the kingdom in the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So let me read verse 9 again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, like this ain't two separate spirits, the same spirit, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By his spirit that dwells in you. So if you don't have the spirit of the Most High in you before you go in the grave, it is too late. He's not going to give you his spirit afterwards. He's not going to give you his spirit in the regeneration. His spirit is what makes you a child of the Most High. It's just like when a woman gets pregnant by a man. Want to know if that man's the father? You take a blood test. And in the DNA in that blood is inherently the name of the father of that child. It's the same way with the spirit. That's why he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Then this is how he begets us, by his spirit. And so when we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, we become a son or a child of the Most High. Without that, we are none of his. Okay, let's continue. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you mortify the deeds of the body, if you stop living to please this body, he says, then you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. This is critical. It's not just to read his word. It's not just to try to follow his words, but you must also be filled by his spirit, to be led by his spirit. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, just like we have mimicking spirits, people who fake speaking in tongues, and they mimic, you know, you got churches out there that teach people how to speak in tongues. No, you're supposed to speak in tongues as what? The Spirit of the Most High gives you utterance. Nobody's supposed to teach you that. And so if anybody teaches you that and the Most High never filled you, then you're just a mimicking spirit. You're mimicking whoever taught you. But then you got people who are in churches where the Most High really is moving and people are really speaking in tongues, and you got people who hear it that know they're supposed to be able to do it. They don't want to be left out. They will mimic. I've seen it for myself. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You're supposed to call the Most High your Father when you are born of him, when you receive his spirit. Then you are authorized to call him Father. If you aren't ever filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, Elohim is not your Father. That's why Messiah said, you are of your Father. And he wasn't talking about his father, was he? They had a different father than him. You are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father you will do. So we got to understand, we can't even call the Most High Abba, Father, by right, until we are filled by his Ruach. The Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Rock itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. Amen. I begat you. You are my children. You are my child. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we what with him?
Suffer with him.
Suffer with him. See, in order to get a throne, in order to reign with him, you have to have suffered with him. That we may also be glorified together. One more verse. Let me see where this is at. I'm thinking it's in this book. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, say amen. What time we got? 7:40. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of Elohim. So he says, look at him. Look unto the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. Now he came and he died for who? Sinners. But who put him to death? Sinners. Isn't that a contradiction? The people I came here to save are the ones that are killing me. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Verse 4, you have not resisted unto what?
Blood.
Any of us ever shed any blood for the gospel?
Yeah.
Right. Any of us ever shed any blood for the word of Yah or for the testimony of Christ?
No, not yet.
Not yet. So, can we say that we really have suffered with him? Because we had a hard time paying the bills, or we had a hard time not sinning. Messiah came and paid the ultimate price. And then he was shamed. He was ridiculed. He was beat. He was killed. How can we say we suffered with him? Now, when Antichrist comes, if we were so on fire for the gospel right now, you know, people want to say, you think you're holier than thou. If you really were talking up for the gospel and you were talking against men and what they were doing, trust me, they would come against you. And they wouldn't want to hear what you got to say. They never want to hear what the true prophets and the men and women of the Most High have to say. The world doesn't. I want to hear that. They might come against you. They might hit you in the head with a brick. They might shoot you. They might kill you. The only time that mankind as a whole even gets the chance to actually really live up to this without being, you know, that super saint, that one that is always speaking nothing but the word, seeking after the Most High, don't care about this world whatsoever. It's going to be during the time of Antichrist. Then he's going to come after all the saints of the Most High, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's going to be given a power and authority to kill them. Now, there are some people that have died for the gospel all through history. But this is not a common occurrence. And especially not in our day. We don't hear about too many people being killed for the testimony of Christ or for the word of the Most High. We don't hear too many people actually suffering for the word of that are that have to resist unto what? Blood. It means that they were physically hurt. Somebody drew blood. So we have to understand that we have to suffer with him. That's why when we read in Revelation chapter 20, he's very clear about those people who reign on a throne with him. Those that were killed, beheaded for the word of God and for the testimony of Christ. They lived and reigned with him 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were up. You got to qualify for that throne. You got to qualify for the first resurrection.
Amen.
But, you know, everybody thinks that they're getting up during that first resurrection. So let's go there. Revelation chapter 20. and we will stop here for tonight. I only did two verses of the ones that I had was going to do tonight. But it's all good. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. 1,000 years is as what to the Most High?
One day.
One day.
One day. So he's going to be sealed one of the Most High's day, 1,000 years, until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, who was them that sat on the thrones? The rest of this verse is going to tell us. And I saw the souls of them that were, what's the word right there?
Beheaded.
For the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Yah, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Did it say everybody who was saved?
No. No.
Reign with Christ for 1,000 years.
No.
Did it say everybody who got the Ruach HaKodesh?
No.
No.
Did it say the church?
No.
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 Did it say Israel?
No.
No.
Who gets to reign with him? I saw the souls of them that were what?
Beheaded. For the witness of Yeshua
and for the word of Yah, and which had not worshipped the beast. Now, this is telling you when this is going to happen. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. This is the only other time that the masses get to choose this. Okay, everybody who lived from the time Messiah went in the grave and came out, time he opened up salvation, until this time, if they were not killed for the word of the Most High or for the testimony of Christ, Yeshua, they don't get to reign with him. If they don't get tempted with taking the mark of the beast. Because this is when this happens. So if you take the mark of the beast, then you already know that you don't belong to Messiah to begin with. And if you get weak and take the mark, then he automatically tells you, you don't belong to me. You are a traitor. What does it say? Now, wait a minute. Let me just read the rest of this. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. What about everybody else? Verse 5. But the rest of the dead did what?
Live not again until 1,000 years was finished.
This is the first resurrection. So if you didn't die for the testimony of, for the witness of Yeshua or for the testimony or the word of God, you don't get to reign with him. You didn't suffer with him. You fall into verse 5, the rest of the dead. Live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Because, see, people will say, oh, I'm coming up in the first resurrection. If I just get saved, I'm coming up in the first resurrection. It's not what the scriptures say. It's not all of the scripture. They take a verse and got everybody reigning with Christ. You got to earn that right to reign with him. You got to show that, you know what? I will follow you even unto what?
Yeah.
Death. I will forfeit my life for your word and for the testimony of you on this earth.
Amen.
So we got people sitting in the pews being told that, oh, when you are saved, then you shall reign with him. No. You got a lot of people that go to their grave. They didn't have to do anything, but they're still going to get into the kingdom. They're still going to get the promise of the hundredfold. Is that not what we read? Everybody that overcomes are going to get what? A hundredfold of whatever they gave up?
Yeah.
In eternal life? Isn't that not what he said?
Yes, that's what he said.
They're still going to get that. Let's jump down. Let me just keep reading so that we understand, because everything is here in the scriptures. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, when that's over, Satan shall be loosed out of prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, this 1,000 years is over. Messiah has reigned for 1,000 years. Do you know people don't want to be up under his reign? They don't want to be up under his reign. Because when the 1,000 years is over, Satan is let out. And guess what happens? He deceives them. You can't be deceived on what you truly believe.
Amen.
You can't con somebody who's honest. You con somebody because they want something for nothing. They think they're going to get something for nothing. They end up getting what? Conned. Get up getting tricked. These people have been under the reign of Messiah for 1,000 years. Satan is let out, and he goes to deceive the nation. It says that it's a number that gathered together to battle against Messiah, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Tell me how many sand, how many grains of sand are in all the beaches on the earth?
I have no idea.
It's a number we can't number, right?
Absolutely.
And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. So you've been up under the reign of Messiah for 1,000 years. I'm going to let Satan out to do what Satan does. Satan's job is to show what's in your heart. Satan's going to show how many of y'all really want to be up under Messiah. And the truth of the matter is, most of them didn't want to be. Why? Why do you think they didn't want to be up under him? What does the scripture say that his rule is going to be like? How is he going to rule the nations?
With a rod of iron,
a rod of iron. It's going to be a strict rulership. You mess up, you get killed. Now, see, this is what people don't understand. Even Messiah himself said it. I think it's Luke chapter 19. I have to go look again. All those who did not desire that I should reign over them, bring them here and kill them before me. Messiah's words. Bring them here and kill them before me, in front of me. You don't want to submit to me? I got something for you. I'm not playing. So bring them here and kill them before me. Right in front of me. If you rule with him, You cannot rule different than he rules. So if he's going to rule them with a rod of iron, how do you think you have to rule if you rule them with him?
With a rod of iron?
You got to be just as hard. And that's what the scriptures tell us. Let's jump to Revelation chapter 2 real quick. Revelation chapter 2. And let's start in verse 25 for the sake of time. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 25. And when you have, you say amen.
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 But to that which you have already hold fast till I come. Now he's talking to the church at Thyatira. And he says, but he that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule, and he, the same he is for them that overcometh, that he's going to give power to rule the nations. And he shall rule them what?
With a rod of iron.
So if you overcome and you reign with him, you got to rule like he rules, with a rod of iron. It's not Brother Miles' interpretation. It's not my surmising. It's not my interjecting. He says, and he that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he, you can say, that overcometh shall rule them with a rod of iron. You got to rule like he rules. He's not going to be playing. You know, people, they think that, you know, they think that Messiah is some wuss or something. Oh, he's just so loving. He's the lamb. No, you're going to see the lion. And that's all you're going to see. He's got to clean up this earth. All the false worship, all the false religions, all the false gods, until there's only one name in the earth. And that's the name of the Most High.
Amen.
So men only worship the true Elohim, and that's all they worship.
Amen.
So he's going to come cracking skulls.
Amen.
It's not going to be playing, and if he gives you rulership, you can't be playing. But this is not what people are painting. This is not the picture that they paint. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 20 real quick, and we'll tie this up for this evening. We're in verse 10, verse 11. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now this lake of fire was designed for Satan and his angels. Those beings are what? They're eternal. They can go into normal fire and it don't affect them. They can go into a volcano and it don't affect them. They can walk right into that lava and don't affect them. They can walk right into an inferno and it don't affect them. But this lake of fire, it's a fire that's designed to hurt spiritual beings. It's a different type of fire. And I saw a great throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who's the them? I saw the dead, small and great. Remember, the rest of the dead haven't got up yet. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. So remember, he said, I got somebody writing your life down. I got somebody writing down everything you did, everything you said. See, you need to watch what you say. I'm going to judge you out of those works. Moses said, if you kill all these people, what did he say? Take me out of your book. So he told Moses, I got a book. I'm writing everything. The angels are writing everything that all y'all do. He said, so I'm going to judge you based upon the things that are written in the books, according to your works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. See, people want to equate the lake of fire to hell, but hell is really just a grave. Nobody is in somewhere in hellfire burning right now. Delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell. Now I want us to catch this. Death and hell were cast where?
In the lake of fire.
That's the end of this system.
Death.
That's the end of death. That's the end of this current system. You live and you die, and you had to be resurrected. That's the end of this system. Death and hell, or the grave, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, if there's no more, he resurrected everybody at this point. He says there was no place found for them. That them were the dead, all the rest of the dead. There was no place found for them. They couldn't hide nowhere. Even if they were in the sea. If they were in, no matter where they were at, they resurrected. And they came before the great white throne. And they were judged, every man according to what? Their works.
Their works.
And death and hell were done what? They were cast into the lake of fire?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody is now eternal. Good, bad, or indifferent. They are all eternal because this current system is now what? Gone. It's in the lake. It's done away with. And whosoever was not found, you got eternal life now. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where?
In the lake of fire.
Lake of fire.
Along with death and hell. Along with Satan and his minions. Along with these other spiritual beings. Because the lake of fire is designed for spiritual beings. So I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire now, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but you can't die because you're eternal. And that's why he says their torment shall go up forever. Why? Because they're eternal. That fire is lighting on them. They can feel it, and it hurts, but they can't be consumed.
Ooh.
They just burn in torment. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's all you can do. He says that's what's worse than death. That's why he says, if by two or three witnesses you were killed in this life by the law of Moses, he says, how much worse, more worse the punishment do you suppose you deserve? If you willfully sin after you come into the knowledge of the truth.
Amen. I guess you do deserve the lake. You
deserve a fate worse than death.
That's the lake.
Let's go get that verse. I said that was going to be it, but I have to include this. Hebrews 10:26. And this will be it. Sorry for keeping you guys over.
It's okay. I'm doing all right.
Amen.
I'm doing all right.
Hebrews 10:26. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 For if we sin willfully, willfully means that we know that we were sinning. And we did it willfully. We did it, you know, nobody had to force us. We knew what we were doing. After that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of what? Judgment. in fiery indignation. Now, he's telling you what the punishment is. The lake of fire, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Because when we willfully sin after we come into the knowledge of the truth, what sin is and what Messiah did, he says, we become his adversaries when we willfully do it. You're not my friend. You're my enemy. You can willfully disobey me and you think that you're my friend? You think that I love you? He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under how many witnesses?
Two or three witnesses.
Right?
Yes.
Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, do you think you shall be thought worthy? How much worse punishment do you think you deserve who have trodden underfoot the Son of Elohim? And has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. He said, how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? That's why he goes back to the law of Moses. Hey, up under two or three witnesses, they die for transgressing the law. Now, Messiah has come. You have been saved by Messiah. You're supposed to know what sin is, and then you're going to willfully sin? You're going to willfully disobey the word of the Most High? You're going to willfully transgress his laws, his statutes, his commandments? He says, how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to give you that fiery death that I promised. I'm gonna give you eternal life and then throw you in there. That's the punishment that's worse than death, because the dead, he says, when you die right now, you don't know nothing. Unless somebody does something wicked and you know, does some necromancy or something and wakes you up. Other than that, you're supposed to be what? Sleep. You ain't supposed to be dreaming, you ain't supposed to be doing nothing, you're just asleep. He says you're asleep in Christ. You don't know nothing. You're not suffering. You ain't got no pleasure or no pain. He said, but then I'm going to wake you up, and I'm going to judge you for the works that you did. And if you willfully sin, if you willfully were disobedient to me, then what worse punishment do you think you deserve? Why? That you have put underfoot, that you have treated as nothing what Messiah did. But you think he just came and died on the cross for nothing? You think he came and died on the cross for you to go back and continue to do what you were doing? That's why he says, shall we continue in sin? Because grace abounds, shall we continue in sin? In sin? Elohim what? Forbid. So what the churches are teaching, I don't know why they're teaching what they're teaching, but it keeps, you know, it'll keep people there. But the truth of the matter is, you can't know what's right from wrong and then choose to do wrong and then think the Most High is going to say, oh, that's okay. It's all right, baby. You can do better next time. No, it's not that way. It's a lie. Says he's merciful to those that love him and keep his commandments.
Man.
And if you love him and keep his commandments, what you don't know, if you do it, when he has it brought to your attention that you have transgressed, then you're going to be what? Sorry. And you're going to be sorry with some fear. Oh, snap.
I
could end up in the lake. I might be, you know, I don't want to end up in that fire like that. You should have some fear.
Ooh, I got it.
And some trembling. But people aren't afraid of this. Because they don't really think it's going to happen. They don't really think the Most High is going to keep his word. And they're being taught that, you know, he's merciful. He's going to forgive you. He already gave you your chance for mercy. I didn't kill you when you were sinning.
Amen.
And the only difference now and before, I set a date. I set a date that I'm going to bring, that I'm going to judge all mankind. We just read those dates. And I'm going to cast you into the, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I'm going to cast you in the lake.
Ooh.
And if you willfully sin after you come into the knowledge of the truth, you just took your name right out of the Lamb's Book of Life. People don't understand that. He says, how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? You think I came and did this for nothing? You think I came and did this just so you can continue to walk in willful disobedience? No, I didn't. So we have to teach them the truth. We have to teach them to have godly sorrow. We have to teach them that sin is the transgression of his laws, and his laws were not done away with.
Mm. Amen.
The scripture is being read out of context. And Messiah's mercy is being administered out of context. I'm going to advocate for you. Let me ask each one of your questions. This is just for thought, and then we'll close up. You have someone that, let's say you're on the job. See if I can make this relevant. You're on the job, and you have somebody that you know did something. Y'all good friends, and you know they're generally good people. And they did something wrong. And, you know, you believe that it was honestly a mistake on their part. You would probably go and what? Advocate for them. You know, can you give me a statement, you know, to my character and yada, yada, yada. And you might be, yeah, you know, dude, girl, no problem. I'll give you a statement. Because I believe, you know, that you didn't honestly do this, you know, on purpose. Or if you did, it was a one-time mistake and it's not your character. It's not, you know, I've known you for years and I've never known you to do anything like this. And so you write them a letter, a character witness. And a week later, what they were accused of, they do it again. How willing would you be now to advocate for that person?
Not at all.
Why do we think Messiah is going to advocate for us if we keep sinning willfully?
Well, I don't know.
But this is what people are being taught. So when it says, if we confess our sin, he is true and just to forgive us our sin. His nature has always been, from the very beginning, when you go back into Torah, if you did it ignorantly, you could go get the priest and bring a sacrifice, and he can make atonement for you and your sin will be forgiven. But if you did it presumptuously, willfully, he said, no, your sin shall remain upon you. He never allowed them to bring sacrifices for what? Willful sin. He says, your iniquity shall remain upon you. But somehow we get into the New Testament, and Messiah said, hey, I'm giving you a chance to do a do-over, to start over. This is a one-time chance to start over. And then we take the one-time chance, and then we go back and willfully sin. We go back and are willfully disobedient. He says, what's wrong with this picture? What the heck is wrong with you? Didn't I die and get you out of that? Now you just going to throw my death away? You going to treat my death like nothing? You going to treat all that suffering I went through like nothing? That's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 tells you, there is no more sacrifice for sin if you willfully do it. If you ignorantly sin, you didn't know no better. That's a whole nother thing. Then you can confess it. We've always been able to confess it. If it was ignorant. And we can go back into the law and find out that none of these things are new. The difference is the sacrifice, an animal versus Messiah. Now, do we think that the animal blood was more precious than Messiah's blood? He said Messiah's blood was more precious. The blood of a man is more valuable. And yet we're going to treat it like it was nothing. So we got to understand that we can't do that. And we have to teach the nations the correct way. Because you got a lot of people headed toward the lake thinking they're going into the what kingdom? And they're not going into the kingdom. It is contrary to what's written. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for allowing us to see some of our duties. Father, it's our job, commanded by Messiah, that we should go out and teach the nations in spirit and in truth, not what we're comfortable with, but the unadulterated word of the Most High. Father, if your word hits me, I pray that I come into repentance and that I don't fight against you, but that I will conform. Once I know to do right, that is what I must do. Because your word says, he that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Father, we pray that you give your people the mind and the heart to do your word, to fear you, Father, and to fear your judgment, to understand that the lake of fire is for real, and that all the adversaries, those that are disobedient to you, are going to enter into the lake. Father, we know that your word is only hard for those who are not committed to your word. It's hard not to sin when you are not committed to not sinning. When we think we have an open license. When we think that you are all forgiving. But you have said in your word, you will not be mocked. So, Father, we don't wish to mock you. We wish to be in truth and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to walk before you with fear and trembling, knowing that you are merciful and you are gracious and you are kind, but you're also terrible. And you say you promise to all those who are disobedient, you're going to do terrible things. So, Father, we don't want to fall on that side of you. But we want to fall within your grace, within your mercy, and within your love. And you have stated in your word, by this shall you know that we love you, is that we keep your commandments. Messiah reminded us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father, we hear and obey. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We will pick this up on next week. We're still in the same question because I think I have, I think I only covered, I have probably another 12 or 13 scriptures to go through on this one question. We only got through actually two scriptures concerning this subject. Then I went off to include the things that are backup for this so that we have sufficient background. Because I don't like really cherry-picking stuff without people understanding where stuff is coming from. I don't like to say things, and sometimes I say things, I can't find it. I know I read it, I can't find it at that minute. But I'd like for you to hear and see and read it for yourself. That it's not my opinion, but it is written. And we have to go by what is written. That being said, today is Tuesday. On Thursday, business meeting, we will continue. We might be moving on from the section we were in, which is what is acceptable behavior of the saints that are part of Yah's global kingdom, what should be the acceptable behavior of the saints in the church, in the body, that is part of our bylaws. But we teach those things so that we have an understanding of what we are agreeing to. So we will pick it up there, and then we'll talk about discipline. Discipline, because a lot of people don't want to bring themselves under discipline. They do something wrong, well, that's between me and the Most High. But that's not what the Most High said. The Most High said, I gave you pastors and teachers and healers and the light for government. Government is about structure and about rulership and about setting standards. And we are being to be in subjection to rulership. And so discipline is meant to correct what? Aberrant or abnormal behavior. Punishment is a whole different thing. But we want to talk about discipline. We agree to the discipline of the Most High when we come into covenant with him. He says, what child is there that I don't chastise, that I don't discipline? But when we seem to come into the body, we want to say, that's between me and the Most High. No, when you bring yourself up under discipleship and up under the body and he places people in authority, then we are also supposed to fall up under discipline of those people because they're supposed to be watching for your salvation. That's the job of the pastor and everybody who is associated, because the Most High is going to require him to give a report on you. And if you weren't willing to bring yourself up under discipline, I don't think your pastor is going to be able to lie to the Most High. I tried to tell them, but they wouldn't listen. I told them they know, but they chose to do what they wanted to do. When I tried to give them something to help them, they said, yeah, but they never did it. So these things are actually crucial in our walk. The Most High, as we read, those that are given rulership with Messiah, how are they going to have to rule? Did we forget already?
Say the question again. I didn't hear that.
I said given rulership with Messiah, how are they going to have to rule with him?
With a rod of iron.
With a rod of iron. That's for your salvation. That's to keep you safe. Because, you know, you give a person an inch, they'll take a mile. You give them wiggle room, they'll wiggle. Wiggle. I find a way. I want to do this thing. I'm going to find a way to do it. So people think, you know, they say, well, you hard, brother. I said, no, I'm not hard. I'm telling you how the Most High is.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. That tells you that he's not playing. And so if you're not used to being somebody being strict on you, and you like that spoiled child that thinks somebody playing with you until you get what, slapped upside the head? Boy, you think I'm playing? Pow! they don't see the Most High that way. But he's not playing. And neither can those that are going to be ruling with him. They cannot play either. And it's for your own good. I'd rather somebody slap me upside the head and make it into the kingdom than somebody don't slap me upside the head and I go to the lake.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we will pick this up on next week. As I said, I got lots more verses to cover on this one question. Then we'll move into the, you know, we're still going to be in this, the kingdom in you. But the question that we were covering tonight was, what are the responsibilities of the community? And so we will continue in that on next week. I'll try to pick it up a little bit. I'll try to pick it up a little bit next week. But, you know, as the Most High, as he gives it to me, the verses and what have you, brings them back to my remembrance, because I don't have everything documented. I have in the lesson what you need. Then there's things that I probably still need to add into this for background. But I try to give you that when we're online. So before we depart, are there any questions?
No, brother. No. Good lesson.
All right, amen. All right, amen. Then with that, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, fam.
Shalom,
brother.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.